League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Hello, and welcome aboard Gallant and George. It is Thursday, December 19th, 2024. I am Paul Gallant. He is Joe George. Yesterday, the Houston Astros nearly had Nolan Arenado, at least we found out. But Nolan Arenado invoked a no-trade clause to block a deal that would have sent him here. I don't know what this part of the story means in a story first reported by Brian McTaggart of MLB.com, but a source said there were still ongoing talks between the clubs, though another source indicated that the Astros aren't holding out much hope that a deal will get done. It's definitely not close.
Yeah, and then Katie Wu from The Athletic, she is the Cardinals beat reporter. She followed that up with that Arenado doesn't want to make a decision this early in the offseason.
Oh, great. Smoke signals?
But, like, we're, I don't know, what are we going to be, 55 days away from spring training? That's not that far from the offseason being over, essentially. So, it's weird. To see that he's not on the Astros are not on the list, they get down to, what, the 1 yard line, and then he just comes in and says, nope, not doing it. Honestly, I'm okay with it.
You're okay with it?
Yeah.
Some people are dancing in the streets that Nolan Avocado decided to invoke the no trade clause.
I think some people are really looking at him statistically and making large leaps about his fall off. And trying to compare it to Jose Abreu. I think there is a PTSD for Astros fans.
Well, I'm not going to lie, Joe. If you take a look at some of those numbers,
yeah.
My God, it is quite the jump off. And you go to, there's this advanced baseball stats website that I went to, the same one that had Jose Abreu's
yeah.
numbers. And his, since 2022 to this past season, you take a look at the average exit velocity, his barrel percentage, and his hard hit percentage, we are talking massive drop-offs to the 9th percentile, 6th percentile, and 12th percentile overall.
Yeah.
Those are not good, so I totally relate to everybody with the Jose Abreu panics. They are merited, because that's exactly what we saw with Jose Abreu.
Yeah, and it's a valid concern. Like, I find it hard to believe, like, the Astros would do this twice, and it would go that badly twice. Like, but it's like, you never know. Like, it definitely could. I didn't want Nolan Arenado anyways.
34 at the beginning of April.
Yes. Like, I think there's money you can spend elsewhere instead of bringing in Nolan Arenado and trading some kind of prospect, whatever it is. Like, obviously, it's not going to be a big name. So, I'm fine with this deal not happening. And frankly, I don't really want to see the Astros to continue to pursue it. That if he changes his mind this offseason and it's like, oh, yeah, I'll go to the Astros. Because, like, what changed? That there are all these teams he's reportedly willing to waive his no-trade clause to, and he's holding out hope for one of those teams, I guess, to trade for him?
Maybe.
And that's what he's waiting for, really?
I'm wondering who's interested in him, though, because I don't see why anyone would be interested in him. Why would you trade for this? That's what I'm asking. Now, I think Nolan Arenado, he could easily say, hey, I mean, why would anyone want to go to the Astros right now? And I think that actually would be a fair counterpoint. But who would want to trade for that? I wouldn't. I mean, he's a great fielder, and he's somebody that you would think is at least not going to strike out a lot, but you're going to be paying, with the deal that the Astros were going to get, you would have been paying him $40 to $45 million over 3 years because the Cardinals were willing to pay a lot of his salary. Is every one of those teams that they're going to make a deal with potentially going to say no to that salary? We're talking $20 million a year for a guy who I feel like is on the verge of being a just
average to below average hitter at the plate.
Yes. And now, look, average to... If he's average, it's still better than what Jose Abreu was, because Jose Abreu was one of the worst hitters of all time.
But we can't all of a sudden act
as if
the floor has been lowered so low by Jose Abreu that things that are slightly above the floor are acceptable. Where, you know, just because we got a bad X does not mean that we should settle for anything that's less than what we want.
Yeah, well, and what we want is we want Alex Bregman. Like that, like that's what the people want.
Just
like,
bring him back. Just get this over with. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it already.
Doesn't it feel like this is the end, though? I know, like the reports then were followed up immediately after this. Like they're still not dead on Alex Bregman. Like it's still possible. But why are you trading for Nolan Arenado if you're still in on Alex Bregman? Besides the fact that you're telling people it's over. Like I don't know how there's any belief that like this could now pivot into Bregman being back. Like, are they going to panic? Well, if they were panicking, why wouldn't they already have just done it? So maybe this does put them in a conversation, Jim Crane and Dana Brown, of, well, if we can't get Arenado and we thought that the declining numbers were not real, even though we know that the Astros hitting staff is the opposite of the pitching staff, like they're not fixing the problems of the Houston Astros lineup. We saw that last year where they're having to have off-season meetings about totally changing their approach once again to what they're going to do in the regular season this year because of how poor the playoffs went, because of how poor runners in scoring position went this last season. I just don't know how this ends with Bregman being an Astro. If that was the plan, then why would Arenado be an Astro? Because he should be. He should be a Houston Astro right now. He told you no.
So. I wonder what their other options are at this point, too.
Well, Isak Paredes is a third baseman. So I think you have to just start... You can't look at third base anymore. I think it's Arenado is it's Arenado or Bregman, it feels like, is at third base next year, or Paredes. It's one of those three guys. And I would say, like, if we were going to put our own betting numbers on it, I would say Paredes is the heavy favorite to be the opening day third baseman for the Houston Astros. Isn't that why you acquired him? Like, I know he could play first base.
I want him to have been acquired to play first base.
Yeah.
And again, how I feel about the Kyle Tucker trade is entirely based on what happens to Alex Bregman. Like, even if Paredes hits the ball to exactly where the Crawford boxes are, and if that pitcher, you can do something with him, and this prospect, like I don't even want to remember their names yet until I know what's going on with Alex Bregman, to be perfectly honest. And this idea that per Jeff Passan, which we saw today, the Astros are unwilling to go past 6 years for Bregman is bizarre. I don't understand the holdup over 6 years. If it takes seven, why is seven out of bounds? What's the
totally
difference between 6 and 7? 6 and 7 years
totally
from now, the Astros will stink probably. Let's be honest. And 6 to 7 years from now, what's wrong with having Bregman 1 year longer? Don't you actually want to have somebody that people like on the team? This isn't like Carlos Lee days, you know, where there was no one of consequence on those Astros teams. Eventually, this team is going to stink.
Yep.
It's just how every single sports franchise works. What's wrong with having Alex Bregman for an extra year? Now, maybe Bregman takes issue with being here for 6 to 7 years or something like that. But I see no reason for the Astros to say, oh, God, 7 years. Like, are they people who are degenerate gamblers and they know that seven's a bad number? Like, I don't understand why you would look at seven and draw this hard line there. Because clearly that's where they do. Just take a look at their whole history. They are just terrified of giving somebody a contract that's a year longer than six. Why? Why? That it would be one thing if it's 10 and we're never in on it. Fine. That makes total sense. But seven instead of six. What's the harm when it's Alex Bregman you're talking about?
They just firmly believe that anything after seven is a disaster, or after six is a disaster. And if you look at the graphic that we kind of referenced yesterday of the biggest contracts given out by every Major League Baseball team, if you look through it, you will see it's probably like 50-50 of what these deals end up being if they go past 7 years. Like, I would say, obviously, like, the first one you see is Chris Davis. That is a disaster of a contract for the Baltimore Orioles. Wander Franco is kind of a weird exception because he's most likely going to jail for being a pedophile for the Tampa Bay Rays, but that contract's a disaster. Chris Bryant's a disaster. The end of Miguel Cabrera is a disaster. But to your point, what did the Detroit Tigers get? They got the end of Miguel Cabrera, in which he's chasing for these major records. But Steven Strasburg, Robinson Cano, like all these moves, for the most part, are disasters. And the Astros have just made a decision business-wise that they don't want to do it. They don't believe in anything over 7 years. They're going to be steadfast in that. And you either fall in line or you're out.
They didn't even give Altuve 6 years. They gave him five. In the last deal, at least.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be a free agent at age 40. And okay, maybe he retires. But what if he doesn't? Again, I'm just asking why they don't decide to give out seven or six with Altuve. It's bizarre that they have this rule that they stick to when the people that probably created most of the rules that they follow aren't even here anymore, right? I'm assuming Jeff Luhnow created some of these rules. He's gone. Now it's just Jim Crane. What's 6 to 7 years? What's the difference if you're Jim Crane when it comes to keeping an Alex Bregman? The answer is there's none. There really isn't. Bring him back. Let's get this thing over with so that we can go into this year and lie to ourselves that the Astros actually have a chance to win the World Series. Because guess what? They do.
Especially because when you look at the deals that they've given out or the players they've acquired, like let's go back to Jose Abreu. While yes, Jose Abreu was technically only on a 3-year contract when the Astros acquired him, he still was, what, 35, 36, 37 of those deals? So what is the difference of giving Alex Bregman a 7-year contract? He's going to be the same age when it ends as Jose Abreu was. So you're literally going through the same age groups. Like you're not Altuve. It's going to be 40 when it ends. You're not avoiding those that age drop-off. It just seems like they're really worried about, like, if it plummets, having to buy out multiple years of a deal. Like, if that's what they're afraid of. Or they're unwilling to pay a terrible baseball player for 3 years. They'll only do a Jose Abreu for a year and a half.
Yeah, that's the interesting part, is that they're not against bringing in 36-year-olds. Because if it was, we don't want 36-year-olds, we do not want a player over 35 on our roster. If that was the rule, that would make more sense than we don't want to sign guys to more than 6 years. Because this is the same organization that was like, sign us up for 3 years of late 30s Jose Abreu. 2 years ago, they made that decision.
Oh, here's one better. Let's trade a bunch of prospects to bring back a guy that we already had, Justin Verlander, who's 40.
Yeah, exactly. And we don't want to sign him to a contract, but if someone else signs him to the contract, then we'll give up prospects so they eat some of it, and we still have a 40-year-old pitcher on our team.
And that's the same exact thing with this Arenado versus Bregman thing. It's like they're eating some of the contract for Arenado, so like it's a lesser deal. I guess is Jim Crane just terrified to be on the
34-year-old who's not good anymore?
Like, yeah, is Crane terrified to be on the other side of this, having to trade Alex Bregman away in 3 years?
But he shouldn't
to eat part of the contract. Like, is that what this is? Because like, it's illogical to not go past 6 or 7 years, but then to constantly bring in dinosaurs who are washed.
Yes, like I don't want to be I don't want to be in on the Alex Bregman business when he starts to deteriorate as a player. So to fill our gap at third base now, I'm going to get a guy who is currently deteriorating as a third baseman who isn't as good as Alex Bregman. Like, that was the solution. That's what the plan was. The 6-year thing is such a weird thing that they draw.
This is how it's just so difficult to trust Dana Brown, because you feel Dana Brown is a puppet, that anyone post Jeff Luhnow is simply a puppet. A smart general manager, I don't think, would be trying to make a move for Nolan Arenado. And a smart general manager would say, why are we married to a 6 to 7 year limit on contracts? Why can we not take it over the edge? A couple of comments here from the 832. My guess is the rule is 5 years. They're willing to go to six. In extreme situations, it's still dumb. One texter says, I don't want Bregman for another 7 years. Hell, I don't even want him for five. Well, then you're crazy, because there's no other option at third base. This is a deal that you're making because you have no other choice. That's why I want Bregman back. But also, I feel like with him gone, the clubhouse loses a lot. You're not getting that back with some import.
No. Any option you have in free agency right now is old. Like, Paul Goldschmidt trading for Nolan Arenado, Pete Alonso, Christian Walker. All these guys are over 32 years old. The whole thing, it makes no sense. I don't know how that what we're talking about is a real thing. How it's they don't want to pay guys, but they're just willing to hand out money as long as the other team eats some of it for a player. Like, I don't know if it's Jim Crane, because it's not Dana Brown's fault. Like, this is decisions. This process has gone through three iterations of a front office. It's gone through James Click, the Skull and Bones Society.
Skull and Bones Letterman Jacket Society, yes.
And then Dana Brown. Like, mm-hmm. they three different versions of this organization have been willing to make this move. It was Jim Crane who, you know, part of the reason why he didn't like James Click was because he wanted him to go get Starling Marte. Maybe he's just a... This is fitting for today's topics. Maybe he plays a lot of MLB The Show. And he likes Nolan Arenado in the game. And he likes, you know, he likes Jose Abreu in the game. And he likes Justin Verlander in the... Like, he just likes the... He likes the name brand of some of these guys. Like, maybe that's it for Jim Crane. Where it's like, if he's going to lose his guy, he's going to replace him with someone of great recognition.
Okay, well, if that's the case, I refuse to call him by his actual name. I'm going to keep calling him Nolan Avocado.
I'm just suggesting.
Yeah, like, it's just, I want a guy I've heard of. That seems to be the common through line, is I want a guy I, Jim Crane, have seen on TV before.
Does a guy who is best with the Colorado Rockies count? Does a guy who played for the Oakland A's, does he count as a real person? No, he doesn't. Nolan Avocado never should have been a possibility. And I'm glad that he did the no-trade clause. I'm glad. Don't want him. Am a little concerned about why he would pull the no-trade clause, because this is a better situation. But, hey, here we are. Here we are.
Maybe it's not. Maybe what you're saying, maybe it's not a better situation. Like, maybe people don't view Houston that way.
I watched. He's with Colorado, right?
No, he's with the Cardinals.
Oh, he's with the Cardinals? Yeah. Okay.
He was with Colorado.
Again, I don't know who he is. I don't care. He's not good. What are we doing? What are we doing? Bregman's fine. Give him 7 years. This is so stupid.
It is really funny if it's like the everything is fine. It's just give him the same contract for an extra year. Then front load it. Make the seventh year worth very little money. You can do that.
I doubt it's that, though. I bet he wants a full salary for the seventh year.
Yeah.
Scott Boras' client. And they did the handshake agreement with the Altuve deal, where clearly Scott Boras is going to want to have his back scratched by the Astros in exchange for how favorably that went for the Astros.
And he should, because...
So give him a little scratch. What's wrong with the scratch? It's like a dog that's like sitting in the corner. Poor little Scott Boras. Just give him a scratch. Give him his scratch.
Well, if he's an actual dog, he'd be just sitting by Steve Cohen, who basically drowned him in treats a couple weeks ago with the Juan Soto contract.
Yeah. Here you go, boy.
Yeah. Just every time Steve Cohen walks in, he jumps up on his lap.
You know, of all the impressions you do, Paul, you do a good dog. Oh, man. I can't believe that this is what the Astros are doing. I don't understand.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
I do. Like, I mean, listen, none of these organizations are 100% brilliant. They all have their own little intricacies. We can all be thankful that, for example, Jim Crane is nowhere close to complete boob Woody Johnson. I'm glad that's all out in the open. I saw that today, all of the layers of it.
And are incredible.
I sat back and... Oh, I just started thinking about how miserable Jake Aspen must be. And listen, I like Jake. I really do. But I hate the Jets with a passion. And like, you live in New York, you have two options for a team, and you pick the team that's run by this dumbass who's saying, like, well, what's his bad rating? I don't know if we should make this trade. And who's letting an actual son named Brick influence team decisions and give team speeches after the Jets beat the Texans, which actually effing happened. I'm trying to get it, but... Jake is the only person that follows him. I've requested following Brick Johnson. I've requested following him, let's see, two times. And
so he rejected you the first time?
I think he rejected me already. Jake has lovingly sent me a text. Get bricked up, baby. No, Jake, I need you to send me the speech.
No, yeah.
So at the very least, when we're mad at Jim Crane for saying like, "Oh, seven's too much for Alex Bregman," even though we're willing to go six, we can say, "Okay, well, at least we don't have this little Lucky Sperm Club grandson. At least we don't have this little bastard roaming around the halls effing everything up for our god-awful organization already." Like, it is important to realize things could be worse, especially at Christmas time.
That's true. I mean, now the owner of the Texans did, you know, play video games with one of the quarterbacks.
I have no issue with that. That's fine.
But Cal's older now.
Cal's an everyman.
He grew out of it.
Cal's no, stop at that.
What? No.
Cal's
no.
I am not allowing for Cal slander. This comes from you being with Joel Blank on the Killer Bees. Joel always going after Cal. Cal McNair pulled Hannah McNair. Huh. Point Cal.
Agreed.
Point Cal.
Hannah came after the video games. Brick just needs his Hannah. And he'll be fine.
Brick apparently plays tennis at Harvard.
Oh. Oh, he's that young?
Yeah, he's like 19, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. No, he was a teenager when Woody Johnson went to England. Thankfully, we're not at war with England. Woody Johnson thought he was going to be made the ambassador to the UK again in this amazing report. And then they nominated somebody else, and he's really upset about it. And he still makes everybody call him Mr. Ambassador. And he hasn't been the ambassador to the United Kingdom for like 4 years.
Are we going to have to call Tillman Mr. Ambassador?
It depends on who Tillman is as a person. I hope that we don't. Some people are really into the idea of titles. I believe, seeing as we live in the United States of America, that even the idea of saying Mr. in front of somebody's name is too much. But that's just me.
Yeah, I think once you're out of like high school, like with like your teachers, you don't need to be a mister anymore.
Excuse me, Mrs. Weldon.
Yeah, I feel the same as you.
If I have an intern ever call me Mr. George, fired.
No, you actually have to make that happen. This is why I can never be in management or in leadership.
I'm gonna tell the next intern class, only refer to him as Mr. Gallant. He's very, you know.
Well, the power will go to my head when you do that. I'll take advantage of that. I'll make him wash my car or something.
This Woody Johnson story just made me think, how much we're talking Astros, something I have never considered. Does Jim Crane have a son that's going to run this team?
Yes, because he fired Reed Ryan. He fired Reed Ryan. Jared Kane replaced Reed Ryan.
Yes. So
it's a huge part.
Jared Crane?
Crane. Okay. Sorry, yes. I believe it's Jared.
Yes, Jared Crane.
Yes.
Jared.
SVP.
Okay. Yeah. You said Jared for a second. Kane. Okay.
Yeah, I said Kane.
Would have been funny if he had you have to earn the R in our last name.
I like that. I'd be back in on Jim Crane.
You have to kill a small business through
you have to play boar on the floor
through acquisition. Yeah.
Jim Crane also lives in Katy, Texas, as well as has that's not well written Wikipedia apartments in Hong Kong and Moscow.
Huh.
It's just a sentence in his personal life.
I bet
life.
If he sold one of those, he could afford an extra year of Alex Bregman.
Probably. I imagine they're nice apartments.
They're probably really nice. And they're, Moscow?
Well, yeah, or
have
ask
you seen
your,
Zillow in Moscow?
Ask your friends in Moscow to pay for the last year.
The Kremlin can't just, pay for Alex Bregman? If we just have a Russian logo instead of the...
Oh, I would gladly take rubles. I don't care. Oh, there's a war with Ukraine. F Ukraine. I want Alex Bregman back. Sorry, my priorities are with the things that matter, not with the dying and starving people.
Their city connect jerseys are in Russian.
I mean, the Rockets did it for China for how many years?
You know what? Just to get that seventh year with Alex Bregman.
Yeah.
Who are we?
Would you trade a communist party being part of the Astros organization for a seventh year of Alex Bregman?
Serious?
Yes.
Of course.
I'm in.
Anyway, it is Kalana George. We're being very, very serious on this program. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in. Did the Texans just talk trash to Patrick Mahomes? And do I actually like it? Stick around.
Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Texans play the Chiefs on Saturday, games at noon. Tim Settles, a Texans defensive lineman who, after the Texans beat the Dolphins on Sunday, said the Texans have the best defensive line in the NFL, among a bunch of other braggadocious things. I love him. He gives me a kick. I think he is one of the few Houston Texans who, after a game, is willing to say exactly what is on his mind and then actually has the ability to back it up. Because for the most part, the Texans are going to give you cliches. They're going to, which, again, not judging. You don't want to have egg on your face when things go poorly. But that does lend itself to situations like Tim Settle may have walked into, because this is Tim Settle talking about Patrick Mahomes and his hobbled ankle before Saturday's matchup.
I hope he's mobile enough, because we coming in Arrowhead.
You guys plan to get after that?
Yeah, for sure. Pat better make a good decision. I ain't making no threats. I'm making promises.
I got you.
I ain't making no threats. I'm making promises. Damn.
I like him. It's a very subtle trash talk. Like he's not boisterous. He's just like, yeah, we're gonna break your ankle, dude.
He's not saying Patrick Mahomes sucks. He is. He's not going, I think we have the better quarterback. No, he is going, we're gonna get after you, dude.
Yeah. Like, if you can't run, you're in trouble. I like it a lot.
You saw. If he should have been like, you saw what we did to Trevor Lawrence, right? You saw what we did to Great DeBose, right?
Right. The funny thing is, after the game, too, he said so many interesting things in that post-game scrum that he did. We're the best defensive line in the NFL. But he also basically said, you shouldn't be watching football if you thought that was awful. Among other things. I got to get the actual quote. I have it on my phone somewhere. Do not cop. Chop it up, because all of a sudden I got the chills. And the next thing I knew, I had tonsillitis.
Just because of Tim Settle. Not because of Tim Settle, you didn't get the chills.
I thought it was from Tim Settle. I also thought it was from a hangover, because many people came up to me and said, oh, Paul, you were out partying.
Yeah, you told me that yesterday.
That kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. Now, especially that I realized that I was actually sick, is that people think so, I guess.
Worried?
Little of me and my own personal responsibility taking.
Yeah.
That I was showing up to the game hungover and or drunk.
If Paul looks like he's in bad shape, it's like, what'd you do, Paul? What'd you do?
Right. What bars were you at last night?
Right. It's never, I'm actually sick and just doing my job the best I can.
Yeah.
It's, Paul, you're drunk, huh? And that hurt my feelings.
Especially because, you've driven back from, bachelor parties, I think you've told us.
And I've made it.
And made it to game, kickoff on time.
And then I asked CJ Stroud the question where he said, stand on business, while my head was ringing and my voice was gone.
This has been an all-time fine for Nick Caserio.
Tim Settle, yes.
Yeah. He only has had one season in which he has the most tackles he's ever had in a season already, and through 11 games. He's matched his career high in sacks through 11 games. He hadn't had 5 sacks in a season since 2020. He's only getting 1 sack each year the last 2 years. So he really has just been, I would imagine, much more than they anticipated for him to the impact he's made. And I'm sure some of that's Will Anderson and Daniel Hunter on the outside helping him. But he's been a great find as a player and maybe a better soundbite.
He's been their best soundbite this year.
Yeah, by far. It's not even close.
But is this stupid? You're doing this before a Chiefs game against Patrick Mahomes.
No, because he's really just saying, make good business decisions.
It's still Patrick Mahomes.
That's true.
I mean, look, as someone who grew up a Patriots fan, someone said anything about the Patriots or Tom Brady, Brady would pick on that person. There was a game back in 2007 between the Patriots and Steelers where Anthony Smith, Syracuse grad, ashamed by association. But he said, what they're doing isn't special. And they targeted him on post routes to Randy Moss all game. It was mean. Patrick Mahomes is someone who I think is that petty when someone talks trash. Remember, there was that Raider player who made fun of him during the offseason, compared his voice to Kermit the Frog, which it does sound like. you got to be real careful when you're doing stuff like this. I liked him settle. I like what he's doing. I don't think he should have done this.
I think I'm okay with it because of the position he plays. Like if it was, you know, Lassiter, who's been really good this year, maybe I'd feel different, or Kalen Bullock.
No, it's every position on the field, Joe. We're talking about the best quarterback of this specific era. No, you don't do this. You just don't.
Yeah, he's just saying, like, hey, we're going to get you, man. We're going to get you down.
Well, what if you don't?
Well, they got Will Levisone 8 times and they still lost. Like,
yeah, that's the Titans.
They could sack Patrick Mahomes that's 5 times Titans. And still lose.
That's the right, exactly.
But then Tim Settle's still right. He just said,
no,
we're going to get you.
No, because no he's then, not. Now, if you have yeah. to win now. It doesn't matter. Even if they sack him 8 times and you lose, it's still like, well, actually, Patrick Mahomes got him.
Because then Patrick Mahomes gets up at the press conference and I don't know if he'll do this, but certain guys would go, they have this defensive tackle. I don't even know his name talking mess.
Travis Kelce will 100% say that.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You open your. I do realize you open yourself up to this, but I like this. He didn't say anything that's like regrettable. It's just who he said it to it makes you not feel great. But I think overall, like that's the proper energy to come into a game with a hobbled quarterback is, hey, be careful, dude. We're coming for you.
I'm also fine with this. I think you have to win. You're right. You're both right. It's fun. It's a good thing to say. It's entertaining. They have to win. They have to win now.
Do you feel like they're less likely to win after saying
no.
that? Because I do.
No, I don't.
I do.
No,
I would have picked them no, today.
The Chiefs aren't the Patriots. Come on.
It's not bulletin board material enough. Like it's not blasphemous enough to like, you know, like really like honestly, Patrick Mahomes probably doesn't even know this was said.
He's on so many painkillers he can't even.
I would have picked them in the pick six. The Texans. I would until this. I would have. I can't do it now. I actually was going to. This does takes the air out of my sails a little bit. You can't spit in Superman's face. Like, what are you thinking?
That guy threw a bottle at him in the trailer and ended up fine.
Yeah. I mean, he's on the ground bleeding before he whistles for his dog. Like,
soft boy.
Superman got his ass kicked. It gets his ass kicked in this movie. It's okay. It happens.
Oh, in the movie trailer that came
yeah,
out.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Looks great.
Lots of different characters from the DC universe that I saw.
Yeah.
That I feel very nerdy for recognizing. And a dog. Not going to lie, kind of out because of the dog.
No.
Thank you.
Kind of out.
Really?
I had the same. Starting with the dog, being so dog forward, I'm like, we get it, dude.
What is it, Ben? Jesus.
His name is Crypto.
Cool, dude. Don't
yeah.
hate on
is
Crypto.
It going to be on game day?
Probably.
Look, Ben won mascot of the year, okay?
from
that
who?
Also happened while
from
I was out.
He's a dead dog.
He's not
a mascot. That award demeans him. He's a dead pet.
I
mascot. Good
normally,
God.
I've been like, I don't want to be associated with some of your Ben takes.
See a mascot for
this one?
For
I'm
Kirk
with.
Herbstreet's ego.
Yeah.
Good God.
This one I'm with. Should not have won mascot of the year.
Okay.
Also, stupid award in general.
For those who don't know, this sidebar started because the new Superman movie trailer was released today, and the fellas just made reference to it. No, you do not go after Superman. Tim Settle should not have said these things. I appreciate that he did. I appreciate that he speaks every single week. I just feel like no matter how confident you are, this is the week where you bite your tongue.
I don't know. I think
I'm cool with him saying this to literally any other quarterback. You don't do it
Josh
this
Allen?
Week. Yes. Look at what happened to Josh Allen. Clearly it worked.
Yeah, the field got him.
That is true.
Any other quarterback. No one has made Josh Allen, who is probably going to be MVP this year, look worse than the Houston Texans. So there is a chance that they can do that on Sunday. I like this defense. I really do. I think it's championship caliber. DVOA says they are number one. The offense just has to pull its head out of its ass. However, Tim, this is not about whether or not you get to Patrick Mahomes. Now it is about whether or not you beat Patrick Mahomes. And I do not expect the Houston Texans to beat Patrick Mahomes if they're talking trash about Patrick Mahomes before the game. And again, trash is subjective, but you think that these guys who are, let's be honest, bored with winning all the time, aren't looking yeah. for any little motivational toy that they can play with this week? It's a Saturday game. They've won the AFC West. Like the season's, they're really just waiting for the playoffs.
I mean, Patrick Mahomes is out here. You know, like he's taking care of his guys to make sure that Tim Settle doesn't kill him this weekend. You see what he bought his offensive lineman?
What did he buy him?
A Rolex, Oakleys, a Yeti cooler, something Lucius boots, okay. And then recovery boots.
Oh,
recovery boots.
Yeah, recovery boots.
Maybe those are for the plane or something.
Yeah, they're like they look like hockey pads.
All right,
hockey pants.
Pants.
I think I've seen those. Yeah, yeah, like, they like wrap around the leg.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so this is probably, you know, after.
Yeah,
after
and they're cowboy boots. That's what the other one was called.
Okay.
So. See, that's a lot.
Yeah, he's trying, a lot. He's trying to say, hey, guys, look, if Tim Settle doesn't kill me this weekend, like, think what else you're going to get for Christmas.
What's that?
I don't know. Cars?
Well, he needs to get him another gift. Christmas already passed.
Christmas hasn't passed yet. Christmas will be after their game.
But
he already gave him the gifts.
He gave him the gifts.
Yeah, but if like, you know.
Also, this gifts? Is very early to give him gifts.
Yeah, Tim Settle's threatening him. So, like, you got to maybe take more care of your guys.
No, he takes care of it early. I just watched Jingle All the Way last night.
Did you really?
Take care of your gifts early. That's the message of that movie. I am getting it all done tonight. It is done. I'm out by tonight. I already feel like I procrastinated too long. It is all done tonight. I'm the master procrastinator, and that is what Jingle All the Way is about. Yes, it's fun. It's about being there for your kids, but more than anything, it's about get the gift early.
I also feel like you procrastinate. Christmas is in 6 days.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Amazon. I'm good.
That's what we did. We ordered Christmas gifts like a week ago, and we got told like two of them are coming in January.
Well.
I was like, what?
You put in the order. You just show them to your family. You're like, I put in the order.
I'll just give them a parlay or something.
A parlay?
That's going viral on Twitter right now.
What?
It was like someone had like a...
Like a white elephant.
A white elephant gift, like $20 limit, so they did a $20 parlay that cashes out for like 10 grand.
Oh, that's fun.
Like, that's what, like,
it's not.
Like,
no, it's a worthless gift. It's not actually $20.
I think we should get that like for each other.
Okay. Like,
yeah. But Tim Settle, talking trash. Paul's a soft boy.
Middle management Joe's. Paul's, like, oh, Paul, I need a gift from you now.
Paul's a soft boy. He doesn't like trash talk.
Now you're not getting a car. John Well, though.
Yeah, right. Well, more likely to happen. The Texans beat the Chiefs or Paul gives Christmas cards to us.
Oh, no. Paul will give us Christmas cards, Joe.
We didn't get last year's.
What month will it be?
We never got last year's.
The cards are on the
table. I got the year literally. Before, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's a me thing.
Might be.
I don't
especially
know.
With you, like, oh, well, let's buy each other parlays. No, sorry,
what?
I'm good. I'm good, dude. I'm good. I'm not buying you.
What
a parlay.
If it hits?
Then I would want the money.
I know. I feel like you give some of that parlay, and like if it hits,
that's what I. Yeah, like
you're just like you're like oh,
it's like buying someone lottery tickets.
Exactly.
I'd be like, you do have to give me like if you win the jackpot, like
it's the implication.
I would want what the beak a little bit. Come
on, you do have to a little.
The implication is give me some of that. Anyway, we'll see how that works for Tim Settle and the Houston Texans. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, whenever you feel like the three owners in town are not doing what they need to do, just remember, you could always be stuck with Jets owner Woody Johnson. An incredible report that includes a Texans nugget among many hilarious nuggets detailing the Jets' ineptitude. Next, stick around.
You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
This is one of my favorite pieces of sports journalism in a very long time, largely due to the fact that it comes at the expense of a sports franchise that I despise, the New York Jets. But the catchy nugget that has everyone's attention in this Athletic piece about the dysfunction of the 2024 New York Jets has to do with how Jerry Jeudy and his Madden NFL football ratings led to Jets owner Woody Johnson canceling a trade that would have sent Jeudy to the Jets before this season.
That's incredible.
It's insane.
Like why? Like how can you let a Madden rating have any say in what your organization is doing?
Well, here's how. So there was a meeting where Joe Douglas told Woody Johnson, Joe Douglas was the general manager of the Jets at the time, that they were interested in trading for Jerry Jeudy. And he had been having some conversations already with Broncos GM George Payton. Woody Johnson took out his phone, started typing, and from the sound of things, he may or may not have talked to his teenage sons and saw that the overall rating for Jerry Jeudy in Madden was not particularly high. And this is not the only time that Madden ratings and the two sons of Woody Johnson may have played a role in decision-making by the New York Jets.
This is why we can't just let these owners hand the organizations to their kids. There's got to be a secondary vetting process. Like, and we should be able to, they should be able to kick owners out of the league. Like, I guess we need it for the entertainment value, so like maybe it's okay as the Jets. But this is why not everyone, just because you have money, should get an NFL team.
You're texting
your children?
I think the Jets are in perfect hands, honestly. I feel like they're in the hands that they deserve to be.
Could you imagine if this story was about the Texans?
Oh, it would suck.
Like, I couldn't even imagine, like, having to be on New York sports radio today and, like, discussing. Because, like, the anger that they must feel. Like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
This is the kind of story that allows you to divorce yourself entirely from a sports franchise.
I think so, too.
Because you can't do anything about this. You're just stuck with this dumbass who's running the show.
Yeah, like, you give me a hard time, you know, fairly, I think, about the teams that I watch. Like, I got tagged in a tweet today from Junior Bronco on Twitter about, like, how bad it is in Chicago, how every single team is below 500 this year, and it's terrible. But none of them that I root for have this. Like, this is a real reason to give up actual fandom, to be like, I can't support this team. You did not trade for a wide receiver who just went for 1,000 yards because your 19-year-old and probably, like, 16-year-old said that, you know, his Madden rating's low.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't support that team.
This is from the word of Joe Douglas. He told the Broncos Johnson didn't want to make the trade because the owner felt his player rating in Madden wasn't high enough. Like, this is from the Broncos, essentially, from the sound of this story. This is a guy who gets mad when he's not called Mr. Ambassador. He was the ambassador for the United States to the United Kingdom. By the way, the diplomat, show on Netflix. Cruise through two seasons of it. I talked about that yesterday.
I think I'm going to watch it.
It's fantastic. Lots of twists and turns that you don't see coming. And you actually, the characters are, you like them. You grow, they all have personalities and they're not kind of one note. But he wants to be called Mr. Ambassador, and he's not an ambassador anymore. So he still wants to be called Mr. Ambassador, as if he is an ambassador. I really think anyone who wants to go by a title is an extreme douche. It's the kind of thing like Dr. Jill Biden. Really?
Yeah.
You got a degree.
See, I think
hey, congratulations. Yeah. Are you operating on people? Oh, you're not? Okay. Then kindly F off. You know?
Look, this is going to be an unpopular take, but like,
hit me.
It should only be doctors or doctors. I know there's a doctorate. Should have a different title. It's confusing. The only person that should keep their title forever is the president.
I feel like
once you're the president, like, you're the president. Like,
nah, once you're out, you're out. You're a human being, just like me, just like you.
But they still get Secret Service protections. Like, that's why I feel like it's a little different.
Yeah, that's fine. To me, you're just another person.
Yeah, that's true. Their opinions don't really matter that often.
I mean, under the United States of America, you're supposed to be a citizen representative that also happens to control the military and maybe has a little bit more power than the average citizen. But like, I don't feel like I should have to call you by any title.
Yeah.
Like, sorry. Like, you aren't a king. We fought for independence in 1776. Whatever. I'm sorry. I'm going too far down a rabbit hole here.
No, but like, I love the idea that like, if someone like, wouldn't you rather be known as like, if you're a formal title, if you're Woody Johnson, wouldn't you rather someone just say Jets owner Woody Johnson? Like, anytime like someone says hello to you,
call
like
Woodsters. Hey, like, Woodsters.
I'm the Jets owner. You say that before you say my name. Why is ambassador so important to him?
I don't know.
I'd rather be the Jets owner.
Virginia Buttonweed is pointing out that you get to keep ambassador title as a government official always, congressman, senator, and in the TV show, The Diplomat, that does hold true. I don't think you should have that. I don't. I think honestly, I'm surprised we're not at war with the United Kingdom given the way he runs the New York Jets. But hey, more fun tidbits from this story. Apparently, there was a trade that involved Zach Wilson to the Broncos last April. Denver just wanted the final pick of the draft in exchange for Zach Wilson. Woody Johnson stepped in and said, no, we want to keep the last pick of the draft so we can draft Mr. Irrelevant, because there's always some fanfare attached to Mr. Irrelevant being drafted. So we're going to trade you the 256th pick back. It's a difference of one pick. It ultimately doesn't matter, but they wanted to keep pick 257 just so that they could draft Mr. Irrelevant and have people talk about Mr. Irrelevant being drafted.
That's awesome. I love this move. Of all the dumb things he's done, this one's hilarious.
I kind of had to hand it to him on that one.
Yeah. Like, I actually, like, don't hate this one. That, like, they go up the there team with a Jets jersey, Jalen Key of Alabama.
Oh, yep. Wow. Big school.
Yeah.
He didn't make the team.
Oh.
Well, who the Broncos draft?
He
please don't say someone who has a high Madden rating.
He still plays for the Broncos.
Oh, okay. Now I'm out.
Yeah, I do feel like you have to hit the pick.
Yeah.
More on Woody Johnson from this amazing piece in The Athletic. It just gets better and better. His kids sound like a-holes. And again, spoiled rich kids. Do they know any better? But when Woody Johnson left for the UK in 2017, his sons, Brick and Jack, were 11 and 9. Jack's a normal name. Why Brick the first name? Brick's a name you give a dog, but that's fine. It's okay. When he returned, they were teenagers. Last year, Johnson started including his sons in some meetings at the team facility. For some Jets employees, the sons' increasing involvement clarified their father's propensity for sharing posts from X and articles from various outlets with this organization's top decision makers. So Woody would cite things that Brick or Jack read online. I'm wondering if also Woody perhaps cited any moments from the Jake Asman show. And I would bet, given the exchange that I had with Jake, who did not give up the video of Brick Johnson emphatically handing Garrett Wilson a game ball in a profanity-laced exclamation, I'm guessing that they've talked. And that perhaps Brick watches Jake. We'll get back to that and the speech a little bit later. Joe Douglas said this to people close to him before the season. Quote, I answer to a teenager, end quote.
Oh, Joe, I'm so sorry. How did not quit this job, though?
That's a great question, but like, it's money. It's a lot of money.
One of 32.
I know, but like, yeah. You go into like a job interview, like you call up like whatever team has an open. Hey, guys, I know things look bad for the Jets, but just so you know, because continued in the story, when they wanted to sign someone, his sons looked at a player's awareness rating
this was
in
about
Madden,
to, yeah.
And were like, hey, don't sign him. I think people would say, you know what, Joe Douglas? Not your fault, dude. We'll give you another shot.
You say all these things, though, to people on the outside, and who would believe you? Because these are all bat bleep insane.
That's a good point.
I mean,
good counter.
Because, yes, one of the Johnson brothers said that John Simpson's lackluster awareness rating in Madden meant that they shouldn't sign him. By the way, like, the people who do Madden ratings are idiots. They're total idiots. There's been a bunch of like stories done about like all the effort that they put in. Get out of here. It's a load of crap. They're just human beings who look at a bunch of things online and they try their best. But do you know that if you have any online access, the ratings adjust as the year goes along? Yeah, that's to give them some plausible deniability, because for the most part, they're going to screw it up and you're going to have a lot of guys who end up missing. But an awareness rating for one player, do you think the Madden ratings know how well this guy pay attention? Like, what are you talking
it's also,
about?
Wasn't he an offensive lineman?
Yeah, he's a guard.
Like, do you trust the...
A teenager?
No. Of do you course. Trust the Madden rating of offensive linemen? And not just a overall rating for offensive linemen off of Madden. Like, a specific awareness rating? Like, what?
Yeah, it's not like it was, like, his pass block rating.
No, no.
It was his awareness rating.
It's just one of the numbers. And honestly, awareness is one of the numbers that they can just, like, manipulate just to get the overall that they
correct.
Want.
Correct.
That you can just turn it up or turn it down
awareness
depending on what
is,
you want.
Awareness has the highest correlation with your overall rating in the game.
Yeah.
It's the biggest one.
Huh. I actually didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a dumb one, because if you control the player, like,
it doesn't matter. Like, doesn't if matter your quarterback has low awareness, it does not matter because really you're playing as the quarterback.
Yeah. Exactly. So here is the crown jewel of this piece because it involves the Houston Texans. This year on Halloween night, the Jets registered their first victory since Robert Saleh's firing 4 weeks earlier. It was a significant moment for a struggling team. Aaron Rodgers walked into an energized locker room with a game ball in hand, and it was expected he'd give the ball to head coach Jeff Ulbrich, a customary gesture when a coach gets his first NFL win. But before Rodgers could speak, Brick Johnson took another game ball and awarded it to wide receiver Garrett Wilson in a profanity-laced exclamation, which the owner's son later posted to Instagram. Woody Johnson then gave Ulbrich the ball Rodgers had been holding. Multiple players said the energy felt drained out of the room. Quote, it was the most awkward, cringeworthy, brutal experience, one player said. Unbelievable. He ruined any chance they had of saving their season. He just stepped in there and apparently gave a speech, probably because Garrett Wilson was on his fantasy team.
Yeah.
And just hands him the game ball. And then he posted it to Instagram.
No wonder Garrett Wilson, there's reports that he's going to demand a trade this offseason. Yeah, no wonder.
I would want out.
I need this video.
I do too. I need it more than anything. More than life itself.
I kind of like this because know what this reminds me of is when in history or you watch like a show that takes place a long time ago when like there's a boy king and like things go wrong and a whole bunch of adults like Joe Douglas have to listen to a 13-year-old Joffrey.
Baratheon. Is very Joffrey.
Like it is, but it's a low stakes version of that because it's the Jets and who cares if the Jets have stunk for my entire life. So
this is essentially putting Ned Sard's head on a spike and making Sansa see it by taking the gay ball away from the coach.
This is the you know like. Luckily, our country can't be run by Nepo failed children. Like, you at least do have to get elected. You at least have to get elected.
For now.
Yes. But we still get a taste of it in something that's low stakes. It's high stakes if you're a Jets fan. I don't care about you. It's low stakes for the rest of us. We can go, ha-ha, isn't that a funny predicament they find themselves in?
It makes you appreciate what you have. Anyway, it is Galan and George. Sean Mapes behind the glass. He's Joe. I'm Paul. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975. What's going on with the Astros and Alex Bregman? The latest next.
ESPN 975.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.